And we do that first by opening up his words. So turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy. So that's going to be in the New Testament. If you're learning your way around, it's past Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It's past Acts and past Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, Galatians first, Thessalonians, and then the Timothy books. Timothy books, chapter 6. Finding happy. Oh, should I be back a little further? Or that's my first one? Oh, that's what I'm thinking of the first one, I guess. Oops, yeah. Finding, what does it mean to find happy? Does it mean we come up with some method, some way of finding happiness and making ourselves happy in our lives? Is there some method, a book that you can buy, some directions that you can find online? You just gotta go, hey, okay, Google. Yeah, see, it turns on. How do I get happy? How do I find happy? I mean, is that how it works? Here's some people that I found that struggle with finding happiness. So these are people trying to buy things online. This was a free armchair. The guy says, the one that wants to buy the armchair, I actually get it for free, says, there's another guy offering an armchair and a coffee table for free on there. Do you have anything you could do to sweeten the pot with to make it worth my while? Thanks, Jim. The guy selling the armchair says, I can knock half off the asking price. Oh, that was fun. So somebody's selling a dresser drawers. Good evening. Is the dresser still available, and are you really giving it away for free? Hi, and yes, yes, and yes. If you'd like, you can come and pick it up anytime today. I am home all day. Just let me know when you want to come. Thanks. Oh, that's great. Unfortunately, I can't right now. Can you send me a picture of the drawer to make sure you really have it? And it is as good a condition as the pics you posted online show it is? I don't want any garbage. Don't worry, I have it. He posts a picture. By the way, my address is so-and-so when you decide to take it. Good luck. Not the best, but acceptable. And you will have to drop it off at my place since I can't come today and I want it today. I'm sorry, I don't have a truck and I can't pick it up by myself. If you want it, you'll need to pick it up from here. I'm sorry. Otherwise, I'll have to inform other people that it is still available. Let me know what you've decided. Thanks. And how do you think I'm supposed to pick it up? Go get a U-Haul truck or something? Go get a U-Haul truck or something if you don't have one. And you can come only after 9 p.m. I have guests before. I'm sorry, I can't and won't do. I am letting other people know it's available. Have a good day. What do you mean you won't do it? You expect to throw garbage away and expect people to come and get it? You said yourself you are home all day, so get up off of your and do something useful. Unbelievable. Forget this number, the guy says. Wait, I don't like the rest of the stuff people are giving. You have to give it to me. Just bring it to my building. No need to take it to my apartment. How does that sound? This is somebody that was having a hard time getting made happy. Last one. This person's giving away a couple of dog harnesses for leashes, I guess. Hi, is the harnesses still available? I think someone is coming to pick them up. I'm waiting on a text back. We'll let you know if I don't hear back. Okay, but it's for my kid's dog. I already kind of told her she could have it. Ha ha. Why would you do that? Do what? Tell your kid she can have the harnesses. Because you said they were free. Well, they are free to the first person who wanted to come pick them up. Somebody else asked before you. That's not fair. I already told her she can have them for her dog. Look, just I don't know why you did that, but if I don't hear back from the guy in the next 10 minutes, you can have them, okay? 7 minutes later. So? Okay, your daughter can have them. Where do you want to meet? I live at so-and-so. But if you want to do public, there's a McDonald's nearby. I can meet you in the car, the parking lot there. How am I supposed to get there? I don't know. The advert literally said for someone to collect. I don't have a car. You can come to me or I'll give them to the next person. I don't have time for this. But I've hurt my ankle and I can't drive. I don't have a car. What are you expecting me to do? I'm giving away 2 dog harnesses for free. If you can't pick them up, then why did you message me? You could get a taxi. Hello? Hello? She's crying now. Person's daughter. I thought that was amusing. My wife showed me those. Some people have a hard time finding happy, don't they? They kind of struggle with that. Has somebody figured out how to achieve happy? Not exactly. We try, we figure out how can I find happy, but we try to figure out how I can find happy my way, right? God says, I've created you. I've designed you to find happy my way, not your way. And that's the way he created us. So let's dig into the word and find out how to find happy. Sound good? All right, let's stand together. All right, let's read together. These are the things you are to teach and insist on. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, they are conceited and understand nothing. They have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that results in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between people of corrupt mind, who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Lord, thank you, Father, for that, this truth that you've led us to today. Thank you for always making the truth of your word not something that you have to have a degree to figure out. You just simply put it to us, and our response is to say yes, Lord, or no, Lord. God, help us to take this simple yet profoundly life-changing message and find happy. Not only for us, Lord, but for the people around us. Thank you, Lord. Speak through your word, I pray today in Jesus' name. And amen. Amen. You may be seated. You are created in the image of God. Isn't that good news? You were created in his loving image. And God said, I want to bless you. I want to help you. I want to provide for you. I want to support you. I want to teach you. I want to change you. I want to pour good things in your life. I'm your Father God. I'm your Creator. And we can respond to that in different ways. We can deny that with the "you're not the boss of me" approach. Ever had somebody say that to you? Yeah. Every now and again, "you're not the boss of me. You're not, who are you?" We can deny that God is truly God, our Creator. We can truly just reject that. Or we can ignore it. How well does that work to ignore authority in your life? How does that work on your job when you have a supervisor that tells you this to do that or whatever? How does that work out when you just kind of ignore them? Kids, how does that work out, you know, when your parents, you just kind of ignore what they're asking you to do, telling you to do, the things that are going on. You just kind of ignore it and do your own thing. How well does that work out? Yeah, not so well for everybody, right? We can ignore the fact that God is our creator and we were created in his image. We can also refuse it. I want my way. I don't need you. That's another way that people can respond to each other, when in reality, we really do need each other. And more than that, we need God, right? Sometimes people will allow their pride of, I don't need you, to allow them to continue to live as a beggar, when they could be living in the palace as sons and daughters of the king. I don't need you. And so we end up living our lives outside of God's desire to bless and give us goodness. Or we can embrace it. We can embrace who we are as God's creation. And as believers who have received Christ as his children. And say, you know what? God did create me. He designed me. He knows how I'm wired. He knows what makes me tick. He knows how the human being, male and female, he knows how they work. And not only that, he knows me. And he knows you. And he has created you the way you are. And he knows what's going to make you most able to receive the blessings that he has. He knows it. He loves you. He cares about your life and mine. Scripture says what? He works all things to the what? To the good of what? Those who love him and are called according to his purposes. He wants to work good things out in your life. That's who he is. There is a way of finding happy. There really is. And this verse talks about... starts in verse 2 there. He says, there are things you are to teach and insist on. This was going to be one message. It's going to be two. So I'll get back to some of the other verses in this first 10 verses of this chapter. But middle of verse 2, he says, he's teaching Timothy. Timothy's a young pastor, young minister. And Paul's saying, these are the things you are to teach and insist on. You are to insist on these. Do not bend. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, they're conceited. They understand nothing. What is a conceited person like? Know it all. It's all about what? Me. I got the answers. I know. And Paul is telling Timothy, if people do not teach these things, they're self-absorbed. They don't understand. They truly do not understand. Paul was insistent, teaching Timothy very clearly. There's one way, okay? There's not many ways. There's not many roads that lead to happy. There's one way, right? We don't like that, do we? Particularly us Americans, we're used to getting our way, one way or the other. We think we should have our way. God never has never had a problem with my way, says God. He's just never had a problem with saying, you know what? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through what? Through me, Jesus said. Yeah, there's one baptism, one faith he's just never had a problem with, offending people. You know what he'd rather do than, he would rather offend people than allow them to continue believing something that was untrue and hurtful for them. He would rather make them upset. What do you think about that? Does that kind of make you go, oh, I thought Jesus was all about warm fuzzies and wanting us to feel blessed and loved. Well, he does want you to feel blessed and loved. And he says, there is one way to find happy. And I want to tell you what that is. And he tells us. And he says, I could tell you there's other ways, but I would be lying to you and I would hurt you. And I love you too much to allow you to remain believing something that's not true. Yeah, isn't that good? Aren't you glad that God is willing to speak truth? Did you ever have somebody that was like too embarrassed to tell you that, I don't know, what's an embarrassing thing that happens to us? Oh, you know, for guys, our zipper's down. I went through, I don't even remember whose it was. I think it was a funeral. And I get home, and I'm like, oh, dang, no. Seriously? I'm thinking, how many guys were there that did not say a thing to me? Jerks. When we care, we speak truth, even uncomfortable truths. Okay? God never had a problem with my way. It says, these are people who have been robbed of the truth, Scripture tells us. They've been robbed of the truth. Who's the thief that comes to seek and kill and destroy? Yeah, Satan. He's a thief. And if there's one thing he would want to steal from you and from me, it is a faith in God's word. He wants to leave us just believing whatever comes along rather than in the word of God. And unfortunately, a lot of people, I won't say us, because Lord, by your grace, it's not me and it's not our church. We've given away our belief in the word. We've been willing to say, I believe this is the Bible, but I don't know, I don't like that one, and this is good, but I don't like the one right after that. This one just makes me uncomfortable, you know. Satan has gotten us to doubt the word of God, and that's one of his greatest achievements, unfortunately. And turning from God has left a vacuum. When you eliminate something, there's a vacuum. Something will fill it, right? And we've filled it with a search for truth. What is truth? A search for significance. Why am I here? Why does my life matter? Without God, we are left with these questions that we don't have answers to. What's my purpose? Do I have a purpose? Is there a purpose if we're just a bunch of molecules and atoms that are going to be living for a while, and then when I die, that's it? I just go to the ground and I'm just more fertilizer? Is that all there is? And we seek justice, but we don't have a basis from which to judge justly, because whatever happens to be right at the time, right? Politics has just become it's filled a vacuum. People think, if I could just, this is what makes my life meaningful. It's not. Social media and acceptance. I just gotta be accepted. I just gotta have people like me. And what does this turn to in this verse, in verse 4? I'll read this. See if this does not describe our world right now. And you, this is one of those verses that just are so real, you can't avoid it. These people that do not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord, says in verse 4, They have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy and strife and malicious talk and evil suspicions and constant friction between people of corrupt minds. Sound a little familiar? Sound like our entire society? All we are is conflicted and fighting and strife and malicious talk about one another and suspicions about the other person. You know, you don't have to look around far at all to see this. It results in protests and railing about this, that, and the other thing, and boycotts and social media pylons. And I mean, it's our world. And sometimes the things people get upset about are important. Absolutely. There are things in our world, we're a broken world, and they're worth getting upset about. But has our world found happy? Has our world really found happy? What have we ended up finding? A constant state of war, a constant state of outrage, constant state of anger. That's what we've left ourselves with, isn't it? You get what? Yeah, we are. We can't seem to figure out how to stop, can we? We just keep going and going. We just cannot figure out how to turn the car off. Well, part one is just about this part. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Here's the simple message. How do you find happy? Godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness is just devotion in action. Godliness, if you can take that, godliness is devotion to God acted out in your life. It's your personal attitude towards God. It's how you think about Him, how you interact with Him, how you talk to Him that results in living ways that please Him, right? Again, isn't it wonderful that God's Word is not complicated? It's not confusing when you just come with the Spirit of God to guide you. It's not only available for smart people. Aren't you glad that's not just the famous people that can expound on what's real and what's true? Aren't you glad it's not just for the people that have gone to colleges and places of higher learning? It's just simply godliness. The attitude, God, your way is good, your way is right, and your way is best. That's godliness. Is that difficult for even our 6-year-old kids to understand? God is good. When He says lying is wrong, it's right, it's correct. And it's the best way to live. It's that simple. Isn't it? It's amazing. That's their attitude. And Lord, I'm going to live for You. Now it grieves my heart to look around, and I know it must for yours when you see the results of people that live ungodly lives. It's heartbreaking because God wants to pour out blessing in our lives, and He's given us the road to find it. But when we don't walk that road and we say, I'm going to do it my way, we do not find God's blessings. In fact, we end up finding the pain and hurt that sin has always, always, always brought with it. I see the growing number of people with no faith. They have no connection to the body, to a church family. And I've heard many people say, oh yeah, I believe in God. But you don't see godliness. You don't see a devotion that's played out in action in their lives. It's just some words, just some words. I see a culture where parents have not shown devotion to their children, lived out in their everyday lives, lived out in putting a priority on prayer in the home and being obedient and talking about and reading scripture together and bringing their children to church and making sure they're being, you know, a part of the body and the ministry to the community of the church. And I see growing numbers of people and children who's they're just not getting that. And there are consequences. I remember that some of the choices I made as a teenager. I went to church, but I didn't know God. I didn't know him. I didn't understand what his word meant, and I didn't know what a relationship with him was about. And the choices that I made caused me a lot of pain. The growing number of people struggling with depression and anxiety, and I was one of those too in my 20s. And the number one solution for our world, the number one solution is go to the doctor, go find, there's got to be a drug that fixes it, or you need to do something that, you know, money will make you happy, a relationship will make you happy. We think of all different kinds of things. The world has all kinds of ways to deal with it, and we don't go to Jesus first. And he truly is the first solution. Do I believe in doctors? Yes. Do I believe that there are times when there are physical imbalances? And I take thyroid because I have low thyroid. If I don't take that, then my thyroid is low and it's not a healthy thing. And same imbalances can happen in this other part of my body. And sometimes we have to take medications for that. But far, far too often, we want to put a pill on something that God can be the solution for. And we need to go to him first. Devotion and action. I'm going to trust God's goodness towards me. It's right. And it doesn't need to be reinvented in a way that will be agreeable to me. Relationships, marriage, and sex today has become one of those difficult, difficult things that our culture is struggling with. We look and we have people are devoted to celebrities as role models. And some of these celebrities will sell their songs and their music and their videos with sex, while at the same time saying that women shouldn't be used as sex objects, right? They'll flaunt themselves, they'll flaunt their lifestyles, which are not godly, and they'll expose themselves and dress in ways that I would never want my daughter or my wife to dress like. And yet we adore them as celebrities, you know. We stand up against injustice until that injustice happens on somebody that's on your side of the aisle. And then we're like, well, you know, we change our tune. Right does not need to be reinvented. Right is right here. That's right is right here. I'm going to have to save that one. It truly is. We've chosen to find our way instead of God's way in regards to marriage and relationships. And I know this is a difficult issue, the issue of homosexuality and transgender and those things. And it's something that is talked about a lot in our culture, isn't it? And there are people that feel very strongly on both sides. And it's to be clear, while I disagree with the lifestyle because of what Scripture teaches, it's not because I don't like the person. It's not because I feel I'm wanting bad things to happen to them? Do I want them not to be able to have a job or buy a house or be served at a particular thing? It has nothing to do with that. We just have to recognize that we hold very different beliefs, very deeply held different beliefs. And while I understand the culture looks on that and says, well, let people love who they want to love. And people feel very strongly about that. And it's, again, it's not that I'm wanting people unhappy, but as strongly as many in our culture feel about that, they have to look at those on the other side of this and say, we feel just as deeply that God created us male and female. And the scripture has taught that for thousands of years. And this change in our mindset about the gay lifestyle has really happened in the last 20, 30, 40 years. And to just give up what scripture has very clearly taught for thousands of years, you know, both sides have to recognize we can look at the other person and say, I understand you believe strongly the way you believe, but I don't have to hate you, right? We can discuss and disagree. Amen? Can I get a big amen out of that? We really can sit and talk and say, tell me why you believe the way you do. Now let me tell you why I believe Scripture teaches. And we can have a discussion and we can walk away and say, that was good. It helps us to understand one another, and we can walk away without shouting and getting angry, right? But when we talk about what God teaches, we have to do it like Paul said. There are things that you are to teach and insist on. And just as somebody that believes that homosexuality is good and appropriate, and actually that some believe that God thinks it's okay, you will stand on that with just determined that you are right. In the same way that I would stand on what I believe, right? We can do that. But when I'm teaching you about finding happy means godliness. And godliness is not figuring out what I want. It's figuring out what God has determined, what God wants and God says. And if you want to find happy, if you really want to find happy, I'm here to tell you that God is real. He hasn't changed. He is still the same God that wrote this word over the last 5,000 plus years. And he hasn't changed. And his way of finding happy for those that he created still is the same. It's not about pursuing somebody else's goals or priorities or causes or taking up somebody else's offenses. If I may, can we acknowledge that our culture, particularly over the last 100 years, has a habit of the latest thing? Would you at least agree that we do a lot of the latest and greatest thing, you know? Whether it, going back 50 years ago, Freud, he was like, everybody thought he was Mr. Know-it-all. He knew everything about human psyche and human psychology. Nobody follows Freud now. Nobody. But everybody did. Everybody was on the couch of their psychologist, anybody that had money, and were talking about, you know, fat-free foods. Is that healthy? They used to say it was. They're saying, nah, not so much anymore, right? You know what the urgency was when I was around 12 years old? Global cooling, said some of the older people. Yeah, there was a huge thing about global cooling. We thought it was going to be the next ice age. That was what people were telling us. We had a bus come to our school that did his whole presentation on global cooling. I'm just telling you what it was. We are a culture that does the latest thing. Smoking was cool once. How about this one? I won't ask how many people have done this because you should be embarrassed if you say you have. The cinnamon challenge. Take a spoonful of cinnamon, not cinnamon sugar, just pure cinnamon, and try to swallow it without water. Very dangerous. You can collapse a lung doing that. That was cool. Materialism was the thing of the 80s, right? It was what they call them? Yuppies, right? Yuppies, all the up-and-coming yuppies. Now it's what? Minimalism. Tiny houses. We need less. You don't need all that junk. We don't need, and that's the millennials. They're like minimalism. We don't need all that junk. Well, you know what? That's going to fade away and something else will come too. I am going to stand on the Word of God. Oh, look at the time. See, aren't you glad I didn't try to put this whole verse into one message? Culture says to be unique. Be whatever you want. Don't conform. That is really what culture says a lot. Be the individual, the unique person that you are. Don't let anybody tell you what you should be. Now, God created you uniquely, without a doubt. But he also created you to be what he created you to be, not what the world created you to be. Because God, your way is good. It's right. And it's best for me. And I am going to conform. I just want to read a verse here out of Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual, your reasonable act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, his pleasing, his perfect will. Don't conform to the world. Don't even conform to yourself, because guess what? You will get it wrong. Conform to him. Conform to him, and you will find happy. Godliness. Next week is going to be about contentment. Godliness with contentment. Godliness with contentment. That is the path to finding happy. Why not my way? Why God's way? Because he's God and I'm not, right? That's the one I'm looking for. He's God, I'm not. He loves you enough to tell you the truth. Even when it hurts. I'm so glad that God, there are times recently when I've looked at another person's life and I've thought to myself, had it not been for God, that would have been me. Would have been me. But because of Christ in my life and me seeking his path, his godliness, it's not me. I'm so grateful. But I see what could have happened. God loves you enough to speak truth to you. It's as simple as that. What we tell to our little ones, Don't ever run in the street. You will get hurt if you play and run around in the street. Little ones don't like it, but it's for their good, right? We love our kids enough to tell them what they don't want to hear. God loves you and I enough to tell you, I know how I created you. It's get into the Word instead of the world to find you're happy. There's lots of ways for us to get into the Word of God. There's groups for all of us, classes for the kids, groups for our teens and young adults. Our adults have groups. But you're going to find you're happy as you find God in His Word. We're just going to take some time to allow the Spirit of God to work in our hearts. This last song, it's a simple one. It's an old one. It's a powerful one. Lord, all to you I surrender. Not my will, Lord, but yours be done. Let's stand together and bow our heads for a moment. Lord, as your word does so powerfully, and every time we get into it, particularly together, you take this one verse and you speak 100 different messages to 100 different people. So I pray that each and every person here that has heard your Spirit speak, has heard you speak words of love and comfort and hope and sometimes challenge and discipline, truth that calls us away from what we were thinking we wanted when it's not what you wanted. Lord, I pray that you would bring us to that place of saying, Lord, not my will. Your good and pleasing and perfect will be done in my life. I'm just going to let there be a moment of silence, and if you want to take some time with Jesus right where you are. If you want to come to the altar just for a moment to bow the knee before Him, let this be your heart's prayer. God, have your will in my life.